2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13. And we'll preach fast. I was able to get it all done in early service, so we'll be all right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. We've been doing a series of messages through Calvinism, and we are not Calvinists, if we'll start with that. But there's a lot of good people who believe those doctrines, and we've been going through them one by one. And I was going to do, every time you come up with a new scripture, people say, oh, wait a minute, well, there it is again. And the word elect is one of those. But last week we talked about chosen, and I was about ready to start elect, and then I realized, I kind of overlooked, forgot, that there's a word that is translated chosen, and that word is only used once. And I want to cover, because this particular passage can be very confusing. And in fact, there's a statement in there. You say, well, there it is. You're predestined. And we need, again, to understand the scripture. And I think you'll find that that's not what the Bible is telling us. So I can see this passage is being confusing. So we want to go ahead and follow through with this. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13. Paul is speaking to the Thessalonian church in the Macedonia area, up in the Greek area. All the Greeks. There were some Jews in the area. But they're basically a large group of Greeks. You could say it this way, Gentiles, not Jews. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, here it is, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle, which means his writing, his letter. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. That's our word of prayer. And I'm going to do Chosen, part two. Chosen, part two. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word and for the truth. We thank you for salvation by grace through faith. And we thank you, Lord, that is offered to all. There is not one that would want to come to you that you would not save. And you make it all. You came into your own, his own received him not. But as many as received him. Lord, it's our choice. Brother Nathan was talking about the book of Judges a little bit in passing. And they, over and over and over again, they made a choice whether to follow God or not to follow God. We have a free will. And Lord, we need to understand that our salvation, the loss of our salvation, is really our fault if we don't have it. So Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts here this morning. Give us what we need. Help me be a blessing. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. In recent times, more and more preachers have latched onto this set of doctrines called Calvinism. It's dealing with predestination. It's got the total depravity, so that we can't make a good decision, and we've got unconditional atonement, and we've got limited atonement. We've got irresistible grace, and then we've got the perseverance of the saints. We've got those five tenets there of Calvinism, and it really all bases on the fact of whether we can make a decision or whether we can't. Now, to understand our passage this morning, we must first understand who Paul is writing to. We first learn of the Thessalonians in Acts chapter 17. There were some Jews there. He went to the synagogue. But Paul was actually accepted more graciously by the Greeks. The Jews gathered some men of the baser sort to have Paul arrested. Now, this was very much a Gentile city. In fact, we don't need to turn to it, but Acts chapter 17, verse number 4, says, "And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few." So in other words, these Greeks were a large part of the church founded in Thessalonica. So these are the Greek Christians of the church that Paul is writing to. Now, you're going to recognize a lot of this doctrine from previous messages, but I want to put it into context so no one gets confused. The first thing I want to say is this. Number one, Paul had a special place in his heart for this Gentile church. Look what it says here in verse number 13. "But we are bound to give thanks always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord." Now again, he's speaking to a Gentile church. By the way, most of us in here are not Jews. Most of us in here are Gentiles. And you think, the Jews are God's chosen people. That's right. But we're going to learn that God has chosen you as well. He says to these Gentiles, says, "But we are bound to give thanks always for you, brethren." In other words, it behooves us that we feel it's only proper and fitting to give thanks always, all along the way, to God for you, brethren. He calls them brothers in Christ, members of the brotherhood of the saved, of Christians, and says, "Beloved of the Lord." He says, you know, you Gentiles are very special to God. You Gentiles, the world. Gentile really means the nations, the heathen. That's really what it means. You're either the Jews or the rest of the world. That's the way God sees it. Number two, to Paul, the Gentiles, the Thessalonica, were an example of an amazing work of grace by God. Listen, they were hearing something they had never heard before. They went in there, they're accepting it very warmly. And look what it says there again in verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord." Why? Because God hath, watch, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now he just said to these Gentiles, God chose you from the beginning. God had his eye on the Gentiles all along from before the foundation of the world. The Gentiles were not a forgotten race. They went off into sin and iniquity, and by this time, but the Lord had not given up on them. Now, wait a minute, just so you put this in perspective. Do you realize all those Gentiles came from Noah? We all came from Noah. And some went off and did their own thing. And God pulled Abraham out. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But God is trying to get a hold of the souls of mankind. And from the very beginning, he made a decision. He wants you. Now, number three. God wanted the Gentiles for himself. Look at back to verse 13. "But you are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you." Now, this is where people get problem at. Chosen you to salvation. He sure did. Now, that's right. It's absolutely right. The word chosen there, let me do that first. The word chosen there is slightly different. The other one just meant to select. This word chosen means to take for oneself. It means to prefer. Ah, there you go. He chose some and not the other. No. I've got four kids. You all have some kids. Which one do you prefer? You see what I'm saying? You prefer them all because they're all special. In other words, prefer means to almost show leniency or what am I looking for? What's the word I'm looking for? Favoritism. There you go. It's like, prefer, I'm going to show favoritism to that. But wait a minute, they're all my child. And I'm going to show favoritism to all four of them. You see what I'm saying? So really what, now watch. What it means is, now, okay, this is a Jew, Paul, writing to the Gentiles, and he said, I don't know whether you knew this or not, but God's got a special place in his heart for you. Me? I'm not a Jew. He's been thinking about you since before the foundation of the world. That's what that means. Now watch me. There's a little subtle thing I want you to see. God has chosen all the Gentiles. Now watch me. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you. Now that word, Y-O-U, is kind of insignificant. But this is really, you need to know this, and this will help you. In the King James Bible, if the pronoun begins with T, like thee, thy, thine, it's singular. It's an individual person, okay? If the pronoun begins with Y, you, yours, ye, it's plural. It means all y'all. So when he says he has chosen you, he says, Paul says to this Gentile church, by the way, God chose all y'all. That's what he's saying, all y'all. He made a choice for all of you. God, listen, God loves the Gentile church because God loves his creation. Don't throw yourself away. Don't use it. Well, see, God chose you. Yes, he did. On purpose. Because his love is greater than your faults and your sins. Every single one of you. Now, listen. You and I both know. You think, well, man, I can't keep track of everybody. I can't hardly keep track of myself, much less my wife, my family. You know, I got 11 grandkids. I'm going to text them. Please give me a list of all the names and their birthdays, so I don't forget a birthday. So I'm going to, you know, send one, then you forget one, and they keep coming. And I'm glad, but you know what? I can't turn me to keep track. God keeps track. He has no problem knowing every single individual. And so when he says in this passage, because God, from the beginning, before the earth was ever formed, before he said, let there be light, when darkness still covered the earth and everything was void, he chose you. Be saved. The Gentiles had a special place in the Lord's heart all along. Now, so do the Jews. They were special in his eyes, and he wanted to save them. Now, where does Father Abraham come into all this? Because he was chosen, right? Well, anyway, watch. When God ask Abraham, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I'll make you a great nation. Where did he come from? In the midst of a idolatry and a Gentile world. He's of the same blood we are. He pulled him out of that. So he says, now watch me, I'm going to use you. Now watch. He came from a pagan Gentile people. Now, this is what Jesus said. This is the words of Jesus. Listen to this. In John chapter 10, verse 14, it says, this is Jesus speaking, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. Watch this. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, and I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have received of my Father. He said that twice. Why did he say it twice? I'm going to lay down my life. He says, I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep. And they're all saying, that's us. You know, we're the Jews. We're his chosen people. He loves us. He's going to lay down his life. He says, but just so you know, I've got some sheep that aren't part of that fold. Talk about us. And I love them too. And so I'm going to lay down my life. And when I lay down my life, I'm laying down my life for them just as much. Now, you're going to say, well, I thought that the Israelites are God's chosen people of God. He was. They are. They are chosen to, what? They are chosen to be a light to the Gentiles, so that in them all the world shall be blessed. Isaiah 49. And he said, it is a light thing that thou should, it is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Genesis 18, 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Genesis 22, 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Genesis 26, 4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He chose Abraham and the Jewish people to show the rest of us who he is. And you know what? Even today, everybody's focused on that little strip of land over there along the Mediterranean Sea. Why? They're God's people. They're his plan. Why do they hate them? Because they hate God. And they represent God. That's it. Yes, they're chosen. He chose them because he had chosen us. He says, I gotta get a hold of these hard-headed people. I gotta show them. I've got to do something dramatic, drastic. Now, how are the Gentiles going to have the right spirit of God on them so that they are able to be a blessing? They must be born again. Now watch me. So God's going to take care of that. Again, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, watch, chosen you to salvation, saved from your sin, through sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification means purification, to be made holy. God has to make us whole. He's got to clean us up. Be made holy by purifying us through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. Now you're still a sinner. You got the old, you got the new nature and the old nature. And you know, go back to Galatians 5. You know, if he that fulfills the lust of flesh, you know, or the fruit of the Spirit, and if they've got the fruit of the Spirit, then the flesh doesn't have any power. They're contrary one to the other. But anyway, you can have a new nature in you. And it says through the sanctification, being made holy by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again, made a new creation. John 1 says this. It's talking about Jesus. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They made a choice. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. They made a choice. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of God, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So he's going to change us. He's going to save us through the purification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Why will the Gentiles think to come to a saving faith in Jesus so they can be sanctified by the Holy Spirit? Why will they come to him? See, they say, words again, the Calvinist says, well, we got to draw you. No. They're going to know to come. Why? Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Belief of the truth. Now, wait a minute. The word truth there is finished. It has a colon. That's not two periods saying we're really done. No, it's a colon saying there's more to come. What's more to come? God calls us through the preaching of his word. Look at verse 14. Let me go back. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto, in other words, this is why, this is the purpose, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, this is why, this is the purpose, this is why he called you, he urged you, he bid you come, he incited you to activity, he got you stirred up, he called you, what? By our gospel. That means a good message, the preaching of the good news. He said, we preached to you, and that urged you to, by faith, take Christ, and the Holy Spirit sanctifies you, and so now you're a new creation in Christ. It may not be our idea to seek him, but when the Lord presents our options to us, many will receive the salvation offered to them. Acts chapter 17, it says that when he preached to the Thessalonians, some of them got mad and tried to get rid of him. They got the baser sort to throw him in jail. But yet there were some, many, who believed. What was the difference? They made a different decision. And so the preaching, listen, that's why we do what we do here. Now, we were a little extra long getting to the preaching today, but that's kind of unusual. And the fact is, if you're going to come here, we're going to preach. Because we're here to hear the Word of God, and the Word of God speaks to our heart, hopefully through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's telling us, you know what I'm saying, you know what, it should incite you. Now, words, simple words can incite people to riot. We've heard about that recently. I don't want to incite you to riot. I want you to incite you to stand up for Jesus. To say, I'm gonna live for him. I'm gonna do what I'm supposed to do. I want the glory of God to be seen in me. You've seen people, they don't have to say a word. It's just like they glow. They don't, but you know, it's like they glow. They're just, you just know they're a Christian. And the fact is, that's the way we should be. Not because we walk around saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I'm not against that, but listen, they ought to know you're a Christian without all that. Now watch me. God wants Christ to be seen in you. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you, preferred you, had a special place in his heart, all y'all, to salvation, to get saved. How? Through the sanctification of the Spirit, because he's going to make a change. How? And belief of the truth. Whereunto ye were called, he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, giving you the right to acquire and thus possessing the glory of Jesus Christ. Now watch me. We use the word glory differently. The Olympics are coming up. And you're gonna have folks who win some race where they're gonna walk around in their glory. That's what we kind of the way we say that. And to a sense, it's true. Glory means apparent, to be seen for what you are. Now, right then, they may be the fastest man in the world, okay? So they're going to be seen as the fastest man in the world. So they could say they're glorying in that. Whenever you show God, it's good. Because God is good. God is love. There is no evil in God. And so if our life glorifies God, it means we're seeing Him in us. You're not seeing the evil of the world. You're seeing the righteousness of God. You're seeing the love of God. You're seeing the truth. And he said, I want you to change. He said, I have chosen you to be saved, and sanctified, and showing, glorified, showing God in your life. That's what it's all about. So we look at this verse and say, oh man, there we were. He's chosen salvation, and we stop right there. He chose all y'all. In fact, has a special place in his heart for all y'all. Now, this is a very rich passage, as many Paul's letters are. And there's a whole lot packed into a small space. But don't allow it to confuse you. The Lord had a special plan for all of his creation since before the very beginning of time. God knew that since he gave man a free will, man would ultimately sin against him and cast the rest of creation into jeopardy. So the Father planned before the beginning of time to send his only begotten Son to live a perfect life, to be given as a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He is the propitiation, the amends maker for our sins. And not ours only, but the sins of the whole world, John says. But how is man going to be convinced to seek and receive salvation that his only begotten Son would provide? Well, God called Abraham to father a nation that would make the Father, the Heavenly Father, known throughout the whole world. And God chose the children of Abraham through the lineage of Jacob, his grandson, later be called Israel, to keep himself in front of the eyes of mankind. And God had chosen all men to be saved, both Jew and Gentile. He just used the Jews to draw the Gentiles. So God sought to sanctify all the Gentiles by the Spirit, but they had to believe in the Savior. So God bids the Gentiles to come through the preaching of the good news of the gospel and the urging and incitement of the Holy Spirit. In this way, all men can be saved and conformed to the image of Christ. God has a special place in his heart for Israel, but he has a special place for them, he has a special job for them to do. That's because God had a special place in his heart for all men. He has chosen all men. He has preferred all men. Not in exclusion, but for the purpose of total inclusion. Therefore, verse 15 says, stand fast, be strong in the Lord, as we sang, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good work, word, and work. You're God's. He chose you. He preferred you. He preferred you saved and in heaven rather than in hell. That's his preference for you. That's what he was. Now, he's not going to force you. Just like when I asked my wife to marry me, I didn't have somebody behind her with a baseball bat. Believe it or not, she chose me out of all the men in all the world. Who'd have thunk it? And she did. But God, we are the bride of Christ, and God has chosen you individually. This has nothing to do with the message here, really, but all these protests against Israel, you realize they're against God's chosen people who are there to show us who he is. And what they are really protesting against is the conviction they're getting from God through his people, whether they know it or not. They're protesting God. You say, well, the Jews did some pretty rough things over there. They sure did. I guess you've never sinned. You say, this is not fair. They're God's chosen people. And he does that to show them what it's like to have God on your side. Do you have God on your side? Do you know him as a Savior? He has chosen you. He wants to be your Lord and your comfort and your consolation. We just read it. If you don't know him as your Savior, we can take care of that today. You can take a Bible, open it up, and I can show you very clearly. Jesus died and paid for all your sins. And rose again the third day, proving all your sins are paid for. Done. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all, both Jew and Greek. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I should have put that in the message. Well, I guess God just did. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, both Jew and Greek. Romans 10. Where are you in this all this morning?